Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise reports. Who likes praise reports?
Amen.
Yeah, see, I love praise reports. I love to serve a God that answers prayer. Yeah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, while we're waiting on Dave, now would be a good time for all of us to pray a little prayer for Christy.
Yes.
Cheryl's daughter, all of you know what happened to her, and she's up there in that rehab center in Colorado. So we need to pray. And we don't have a microphone down here where we can hear it, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come up here, and I would like for at least two or three or four of you to come up here and say either a one-line prayer, a one-minute prayer, or two, whatever you want to do. I'm asking you just to pray specifically for Cheryl's daughter, Christy. You know, we all know she's in a rehab center, and she's having all kinds of problems. Some days she has good days, some days she has bad days, and some days in between. So who would like to be first to come up here and stand beside me? Okay, come on, Kim. Stand right here close to me where you
well,
mic.
This is what the Lord showed me this morning, and I've actually sent them the prayer message, but I want the whole church to be in agreement with that, and I'm humming here, sorry. I was using 2 Corinthians 1:20, and I know, probably you know what that is. It means all the answers to prayer, yes in Him and amen in Him.
Amen.
Now we have prayed, and we have taken John 20:23 and remitted all of our sins, all of Christy's, Cheryl's, everybody's sins up there. But I want to stand on that scripture, the 2 Corinthians 1:20, because it is all yes and amen in Him. And I truly believe that it has already been done. It's already been paid for, like Dave talked about today. So that's all we need, is to agree that it is done, it is finished. And that's what it means, the 2 Corinthians 1:20. So I just thank you, Father, for that scripture. I'm giving a reminder to you that 2 Corinthians 1:20 does mean what it says, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Okay, who would like to be next? Okay, come on up here, Miss Jackie.
Okay. I've been asking the Lord to do what He does best, and that's heal from the beginning. Just like Pastor Dave has been teaching us, it's already done, it's finished. So I have already texted Cheryl, Ephesians, remember who you serve, and you are a woman of the King of Kings. So I said, remind yourself daily, Ephesians 3:20, we've done the remitting of sins of self and asked the Lord to create in us a clean heart and to renew His right spirit in us. So as believers, and I've been adding receivers of the Lord as
Amen.
Your Lord of Lords, because even the devil believes and trembles. So we must receive Him as our Lord. I'm saying, Cheryl, you and Christy, with the rest of us, stand on Ephesians 3:20, because unto Him,
Hallelujah.
God of gods,
Amen.
Lord of lords, who
Amen.
Can do all that we can think, imagine, or even ask Him. But according to the what?
Power.
So we've already asked for the renewing of His spirit. Back in David's day, he didn't know His name. What's His name? Holy Spirit. And that's it.
Amen. 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 Anybody else?
All right. Message from my husband tells me that because I got afflicted. He said, don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell Him how big your God is.
Amen.
And a lot of souls are being won over. The little church that he's in Honduras and El Salvador now, they burned, little Catholic came after him and burned the kitchen down, but they're trying to get it up by Christmas. But he said many souls are coming to the Lord. And remember how big your God is, though.
Amen.
Don't
Amen.
Worry about your afflictions.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise. Okay, is that it, or we got anybody else? Okay, so Dave, we're ready.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, go ahead now and do what
okay.
read
so,
the text.
I'm going to say one thing about Christy. My prayer has always been that she desire to live.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
That's something that's been in my heart from the very first time I heard the thing. Is that so? My prayer is always that God give her visions of vibrant life and success, healing. She gets to vote in this. You know that,
amen.
Right? She has a vote. She has a vote in it, right? Amen.
For sure.
So, that's my prayer, that she constantly not get discouraged by the setbacks or whatever, but that she always sees. I was talking with Sharon the other day, and Sharon essentially said when she went through her incident, she never saw herself as stuck there. She always saw herself as going through. And so that was my prayer for Christy. See yourself as going through.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Praise reports.
Amen.
Y'all know how much Pastor likes these, right? Okay. So here's a short and sweet one. It says, because of Pastor Thurman's story about Amanda and the snake, it has helped me tremendously to get freer today. Yahoo, praise God.
Amen.
Remember when you shared a couple, probably a month ago now, about Amanda and the snake? Somebody got really set free off of that.
Wow.
Okay, the next one I titled, You Have a Demon. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Dear Pastor Thurman, thank you for your wonderful ministry. It is such a blessing. Please would you pray for, and then they mention a number of years ago at a time of great stress, I found I couldn't stay asleep. As soon as I fell asleep, I'd immediately wake up. And then the second one was I suffered from gastritis for 2.5 years. And the third one was I have congestion in my ears. And then now the fourth one, this week I went to the optician to get new glasses and they found that the tension in my eyes, which could cause glaucoma. I'm seeking Jesus constantly and trusting his word. I ask God to search my heart to see if there be any wicked way in me. I confess any sin and repent. I do seek to live my life wholly before him. And then Pastor responds with, you have a demon. Praise the Lord. You have a demon? I'm going to kick it out. All of them. And you're going to be delivered and everything's going to work perfect because Jesus came to set the captive free. In Jesus' name, I command every evil spirit to leave your body, go to the abyss and never come back, according to Luke 10, 19 and 20. You have to obey me and do what I say and never come back. You are now delivered, I guarantee it. You are perfect because Jesus said so. You will now sleep all night and everything will work perfectly. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Her response, thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Pastor Thurman, for praying. Hallelujah. I am delivered. Praise the King. He's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Okay, this one, praise the Lord. Amen. How many of y'all have ever had a sleepless night? How many of y'all knew it was a demon?
Praise.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Vietnam veteran. This is why I titled Vietnam veteran. Dear Pastors Thurman and Cheryl, I wrote you yesterday and asked for prayer for a neighbor of mine who is a Vietnam vet. Thank you so much for praying for the salvations of him and his wife. When I prayed with the vet yesterday, he was unshaven and not well kept. Another neighbor is a believer, and he and I have been keeping track of the vet. The neighbor called me today and said he went over to the vet's house to give him some information about the VA and local mental health resources. He said that the vet looked much better. He was cleaned up and had nice clothes on, and he was very receptive to the information from the VA. Praise the Lord. Of course, you and I know that the best psychiatrist in the universe is Dr. Jesus. Thank you not only for your prayers, but for teaching me how to go to the third heaven and intercede for those who are lost. And I especially thank you for teaching me how to remit sins, kick out the devil, and lead someone to salvation. Praise the Lord. I'm beginning to realize who I am in Christ. My next object of prayer is this vet and his wife to be properly disciplined in the Lord. If you pray for that as well, I would greatly appreciate it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
All right. This one was, I labeled psoriasis. Hello, Thurman. I phoned today for prayer for psoriasis. I had prayer last night, and the crazy thing is that the swelling went down on my foot, only where he was holding his hand. Now, when I read this, it sounded like that somebody had gone to church or had somebody pray for him, and wherever the person prayed, where they held on to him, that part got healed. So he said, the crazy thing is that part of my foot is healed. Thank God for even that much relief. Does God partially heal? And so Pastor Thurman's response was, yes, he does. I have seen him heal partially, seen him partially heal many people. We have prayed and you are healed. Only believe. Praise the Lord. And then his response was, thank you, brother. I was in real pain. All right. This next one I titled Testimony, Living Under the 30%. Last night the weather report was 70% chance of rain, so I declared that we were going to live under and in the 30% of no rain for the evening. I thank God for keeping people dry and safe. We had about 270 people that would be coming to Samaritan Purse that night. It was cloudy, but no rain. Then it started to sprinkle. I made a declaration that we were going to live under the 30% of no rain. I thank God for keeping us and the people coming dry. After about 5 minutes, it stopped raining. It did not even rain for several hours. Correction, it did not rain for several hours. Right as we were preparing to go outside and home for the night, the sky rained down a downpour. We all stayed in the building. I declared that we would live under the 30% of no rain, and I thanked God for that. After 7 minutes, it stopped and no more rain. I gave God great thanks. God is so faithful. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Okay.
Next one I titled Complete Restoration. Praise to our Lord, our God, because I am getting better and I know that I am healed by God our Father through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I would like to request a prayer for 100% restoration of good health in my entire body. The prayer request was specifically complete healing and restoration of perfect alignment and good health of my skeletal system, especially my rib cage, backbone, spine, vertebrae, chest bone, knee bone, neck, hip, pelvic bone, and all my veins and blood vessels, etc. I also pray for... Is that pretty much complete?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I also pray for complete healing and restoration to perfect good health of all my internal organs, especially liver, kidney, gallbladder, stomach, large and small intestines, colon, etc. We pray to Abba Father through the power of the Holy Spirit in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you again to all of you for the prayer and serving our Lord, our God. All glory to our Lord, our God, God our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And then... I guess I missed something. So you must have responded, but I missed the response. So here's their reply from whatever response. Thank you, Pastor Thurman, and to all for praying in Jesus' name. I am feeling better and better every day. I'm indeed claiming 100% restoration of good health in my entire body in Jesus' name. All glory to our Lord, our God. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And that may be...
We got one more, I believe.
Got two more. Hi, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl. I want you to know how very thankful our extended family is for your ministry. You're wonderful. You are wonderful, and we have learned so much from you. I love it that you listen to and teach people to get their direction straight from God's Word, to read the Bible and believe it. And I love it that you tell people to stop sinning. It's in the Bible. Thanks. And teaching us how to pray and to have faith in God. Awesome. That sets you apart, and your inspiration has become our inspiration. Thanks. May God's richest and best blessings be yours. Now, I snipped out a bunch of other stuff in here, but this is where the praise report starts. We love you, and we are so thankful for you. Over a year ago, we called, and your team prayed for my husband, Brad. He had signed a contract during the course of
doing something. Praise the Lord.
Doing business at work that could have bankrupted us personally and financially. We prayed, you prayed, and God provided the miracle. The contract was fulfilled. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
My son was healed of eczema and allergies through our prayers, faith and prayers we learned through your teaching. My son has received his healing from anger and frustration. We prayed, you prayed, and we agreed with you, and God provided the miracle. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your teaching. Please don't ever stop.
Praise.
We love you and your church. We wish we could be there in person. You're all so wonderful. May God's richest and best blessings be yours, Pastor Thurman. We love you and Cheryl. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now one more.
Oh,
got
sorry.
One more. Oh, okay. Okay, praise the Lord.
I told you we had a bunch.
Okay, I love it.
Amen.
Yeah, I love these praise reports. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for blessing your people.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for giving Cheryl and me the faith to pray for these people, and they get their answer.
Amen.
Wow. I remember one time a man told me, it was a pastor, and he was giving me a hard time for teaching so much on healing. He said, healing's not important. Salvation's what's important. I told him, I said, salvation is important, I'll agree, but if you're sick, healing is important too. You don't believe that, ask Dave.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
We love to be healed, don't we, Dave?
We love being healed.
We love being healed.
Okay, last one. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I labeled this one Guatemala. I don't know why, but we'll read it. Praise the Lord. Dear Thurman, I am from Guatemala City, Central America, and I have heard about your ministry through Sid Roth. Let me tell you that your teachings on faith and healing have been such a blessing. I have a prayer request. I would like you to pray for me because there are moments that my heart hurts a lot. I think it's linked to spiritual warfare, and as I have been searching the Lord more intensely, last year a spirit of fear has been bothering and harassing me. However, I believe that if we agree on this matter, all sickness in my body will be healed and I will be delivered. That is sozoed. By the way, I have already asked for forgiveness to the Lord for all my sins, and I have already forgiven all those who have offended me. I ask you in your powerful ministry to pray for my physical health, especially for my heart. I thank God for your ministry, and may God bless you and your family. Regards. And then the response back, Pastor Thurman, was, heart issues are your love walk with yourself and or others. We have prayed. It is done. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman. Dear Pastor Thurman, when I read your email, I felt such a great conviction from the Holy Spirit that I had failed in my love walk. I repented with all my heart. Thanks be given to God. I have been feeling better in my health. Praise God, and thanks for praying for me. I give thanks to God for your ministry. I have learned a lot about the Word of God through you. Thanks, and God bless you and your lovely family. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, the day's going upstairs, is that right?
Amen.
Okay, praise. I'm so grateful for the privilege to pray for people and to show them the truth. Just like that one young man says, you tell people they're supposed to stop sinning. I mean, who told us to stop sinning?
The Lord.
The Lord. I mean, the Lord's what, His Word. He told us, stop sinning. I mean, goodness gracious alive. If the Word of God says stop sinning, what do you think He means?
Stop sinning.
Stop sinning. If you don't, there'll be consequences, and I guarantee you won't like them. You really won't like it, so that's just the way it is. But anyway, today, I want us to pull up Psalm 91. Yeah. The first thing Dave's going to do is, as soon as they get Psalm 91 up, I want us to read Psalm 91. I think we ought to read this really more often than we do. We don't read it near often enough. But we need to know this promise belongs to us as sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
But we have to obey Him and do what He says. So as soon as Dave gets up there and gets ready, I want us to read Psalm 91. And what I'd like to read it in the King James. If you've got it in the King James, I'd like for us to read Psalm 91 in the King James. So are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, read Psalm 91 in King James.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Is that a good verse?
Yes.
That's a wonderful verse. So how often do you think you ought to read that? I'm with you. You as an individual should read Psalm 91 every day. Don't you agree?
Yes.
If you want it to work for you, I would read it every day. I don't even do that myself, and I'm sorry to say that I don't, but I need to. I know I need to. I know you need to. I know that we're all a little bit, now forgive me for saying this about us, I know we're a little bit lazy. Just a little bit. Not much, but just a little. But I think we need to get over that. We need to ask the Lord to give us enthusiasm to read his word and meditate on his word every day. So I would think that reading Psalm 91 would be a good place to start. Now I want Dave to read Proverbs chapter 1 in the King James Bible. That whole chapter, I want him just to read it nonstop, slowly and powerfully. And I want us to hear what the Lord has to say. If every man and woman, especially men, would listen to Psalms and Proverbs chapter 1 and do what it says, I can assure you it will change your life and the way you do life, do things in business. So Dave, read the King James, Proverbs chapter 1, just right through slowly but powerfully.
The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will ye love simplicity, And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Okay, now then I want you to start over on Proverbs chapter 1 and read it in the NLT. Read it slow and powerfully on the NLT and just see the difference as you listen to what it has to say. NLT, Proverbs chapter 1.
Yeah. 1 second.
So far, do you think if we read these Proverbs one chapter a day, every day for a month, and then read it all year long, do you think that would help us?
Oh, absolutely.
I remember one time we taught through the book of Proverbs at Bible study, and I remember Philip, he was working for us at the time, the boy that got all the warts off of him. And when we got through with Proverbs, it took us several weeks, several months to teach the book of Proverbs. I said, well, we've now finished all 31 chapters of Proverbs. Wonder what we're going to have to teach on next. Philip said, Pastor, you need to start over at verse 1 of Proverbs, and we need to go through it again. He said, I learned so much about how I'm supposed to act and what I'm supposed to do. He said, we need to hear that again. In fact, he said, it probably wouldn't hurt anything. We heard that every, we do it again, and then you'll do it again, and then go do it again. And I think he's right, don't you?
Amen.
We need to get this down in our spirit. So that's why we read it in more than one translation. Sometimes the King James, it's always a good translation, but sometimes there'll be the NLT will have a word or two that'll be different, that'll open your understanding. Just like sometimes when I tell stories in here and talk about it, it opens doors to people to grab a hold of something that they didn't see before. And so anyway, now let's read Proverbs chapter 1 NLT, Dave.
These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let us hide and kill someone. Just for fun, let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive, like the grave. Let's swallow them whole, like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we get. Come, throw in your lot with us, and we'll all share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths.
They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when your disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm.
Did you notice anything in there that you needed to do? You know, when people, just like they're right there toward the end, as people run into problems and sickness and disease or short of finances, there is all kinds of things that come upon you. And you know how some people are? Some people say, well, maybe have you prayed about this yet? And here's the answer so many people will say. Has it come to that? Well, why do you think this problem's coming upon you? It's because you have not been praying. Does God say pray about a few things? So what is it we don't understand about praying about all things? When he says study my word, when we don't study his word, we don't do what he says. So then we go out here and we do everything we want to do, and just like loaning money to somebody. The Lord clearly says in the Word, and I don't know where else you would find this, somebody comes to you and wants to borrow some money. Okay, I don't have the money, but I'll go on a note for you. I'll go down to the bank and we'll borrow $10,000. You need to do something. And I'll sign over here. I'll stand good in case... When they say, if you don't make it, then I'll pay that. But they really don't mean that. Because they fully expect their friend to be able to pay back the money. But the Lord says, you're a fool. He says, if you got a note like that, get out from under it quickly. Don't go on nobody's note. But so many people, anybody that ever come to me for advice on loaning somebody money, I said, if you've got the extra money and they don't pay, it ain't going to hurt you a bit. It ain't going to hurt your friendship. Go ahead and loan them the money and stand on the principal for them. But if you can't handle it, if you're going to go on a note, I don't care if it's $1,000. If it's $1,000. 50 cents, huh? If you're going to get crossways with your person, when it comes time for the note to be paid, and they say, well, I spent that money for something else. And then you ask, well, what did you spend the money for? Well, I had to take my friends out to dinner one night. And you know, that cost us $100, so now I don't have the money. So would you make the payment for me? Oh, my goodness gracious. People do that all the time with cars. You can't buy a car without somebody going on your note with you if you don't have money. The only way you can get money is if you don't need money. That's the only, is that right? I mean, if you've got everything paid for and you've got thousands of dollars in the bank and everybody's checking your bank account and say, wow, Thurman's got $5,000 in the bank. He's got all kinds of money. No problem. You go see him and says, Thurman, will you loan me some money? I absolutely not. The last time I loaned you $500, you never paid it back. Now then, is it if you borrow money from somebody, is it necessary to pay them back?
Yes.
I'm telling you, you know, but when you get to the point where you've always paid your bills, chances are if you've always been a man that paid his bills, chances are you won't never need to borrow money from nobody.
Amen.
Because God will see to it if you're doing what he says, I guarantee he will take care of you.
Amen.
You'll never see the righteous begging bread. Isn't that amazing that all these things, you learn about these things reading the book of Proverbs.
Amen.
It's Proverbs about the wisdom for life and the wisdom how to do things. And all of the information you need is in the book of Proverbs. In those 31 chapters, it has got a ton of good information in there. And most people have no idea what the Proverbs say. They don't, I mean, even church-going people, they don't read them. Or if, I've heard this a lot of times, well, I read the Bible once. I read it once. So what does that mean? If you read the Bible once, so what did you learn? I remember this, we had an engineer, he was a very, very smart man. He had two master's degrees, and he was a brilliant engineer. One day I told him, I said, you know, you're such a fantastic engineer, you have such retention, I said, you really ought to read the Bible. And he says, well, I read it once, but I didn't get nothing out of it.
Wow.
I said, well, you probably wasn't even saved when you read it. So I said, you need to make sure that you're a born-again believer and that we pray and ask God to give you wisdom and revelation. And then I said, let's just take one chapter of, I mean, just one book of the Bible, the book of Matthew. Just one book. I want you to read. I want you to pray over that one chapter or that one book, and then I want you to read all of the chapters of the book of Matthew. And so he said, okay, that won't be a big deal. He looked, he said, that's not very thick. I've memorized stuff like this. I said, okay. So he prayed and asked the Lord to give him wisdom and understanding. And I guess it must have been 2 or 3 months later when I saw him again. I said, well, did you read that book of Matthew? He said, I sure did. He said, that was pretty interesting. Some of it I read 2 or 3 times. I said, well, that's really great. I said, what did you think about Matthew 18:19? The prayer of agreement. He said, the what? The prayer of agreement. I said, this is what it says. If two of us on earth agree about anything we ask him for, he'll do it for us.
Yeah.
He said, no, I read that book. And he said, that's not in mine. I said, it's not in yours. Huh? He said, no, anything that's that powerful, if I had read that, I would have remembered that forever. I said, well, why don't we go back over to your Bible in Matthew 18:19 and you read that. He said, well, I don't know what it said, but don't say what you said. We turned over there and read it, and guess what it said?
What you said.
He looked at that and he said, I can't believe that says that. He said, you are right, Thurman. He said, how in the world? Said, I could have read that in a book and never missed a lick. And I'd have remembered every word that said. I said, well, in Matthew 13, you have an answer for why you don't remember. He said, what is that? I said, well, turn over to Matthew 13, and I want you to read Matthew 13. So he turned over to Matthew 13, and it talks about when we listen or read anything in God's word, and we don't fully understand it, the devil comes and steals the word right out of your heart. He said, I can't believe this. He said, my gosh. He said, I thought I really had this down. He said, everything you asked me, I don't remember nothing. I said, well, now you see why it's important to read it over and over and over and study it and read it and study it and quote it. He said, man, this book is the most awesome, powerful book in the world. I said, now you're getting it. Now you're beginning to understand. Is this the most powerful book in the world?
Yes.
So why do you think the devil's standing at your front door to steal the word out of your heart? He don't want you to know these promises. He don't want you to have these things. That's why the Proverbs is saying, if you'll do these things and read these things and listen to these things and do these things, it will make the wise wiser.
Amen.
But if the simple, if you don't do anything or read, the simple will get simpler. I don't know about you folks. I don't want to be simple. I want to pray over this book. I mean, some of this book, I have prayed over this book. And some of the things it will teach you. Dave, we've read chapter 1, and now we're down to chapter 2. Listen, Dave, I want you to read chapter 2. Let me get up here behind the podium before I can see if I can see this. I want you to read, slowly but surely, chapter 2 of Proverbs.
James or NLT? King James or NLT, sir?
Do what?
King James or NLT?
Oh, NLT. Let's read it first in the NLT.
My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight.
The very first thing he said there was, do what? My child, listen. Do we need to be told to listen? Sometimes more than once, right?
Yes.
My child, listen. And read. Okay, Dave, go ahead now.
Cry out for insight and ask for understanding.
Okay, now wait a minute. Stop and think about this. How many times in your life have you sat down to read something? Thurman told me to read the book of Proverbs. So I'm going to read it. And I set the Bible down there and I say, Lord, I'm crying out for wisdom. I need understanding of this magnificent book of yours. Reveal yourself to me, Father. In Jesus' name, please give me all the knowledge and wisdom and understanding. I'm crying out for wisdom from your word. How many of you ever done that? Do you know most people don't do that? They just read it. They just read over it. They don't get nothing. That's why you can read over it and say, I didn't learn a thing. Because you won't learn a thing. You won't get nothing. But if you cry out to the Lord, I mean, this book is not something we just read over. This book is something we do what it says. And who would ever dream crying over the word? Call out, cry out. Read on there, Dave.
Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures.
Okay, now wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. I have 100 acres of land here that we live on and this church is sitting on. 100 acres of land. Let's say that some guy come in here today and he says, Thurman, I'll tell you what I've done. 50 years ago, I buried a box on this place that had $10 million worth of gold in it. $10 million. Now, I want you to know, I put it somewhere within the confines of the perimeter of your 100 acres. So somewhere in that 100 acres, I don't remember, I did it at night, so I don't remember how deep I buried it. I don't remember how far down it was or whatever it was, but I buried $10 million worth of gold in a strong box somewhere in your place, and then I covered it up. I sent a guy, they put it on, and they covered it up with a backhoe, and then something happened to the young man about a year later. He died, and he forgot to tell us to be able to draw us a map where it is, so all we know is it's somewhere within the confines of your 100 acres, and we don't know how deep it is. It could be a foot deep, it could be 100 foot deep, but it's somewhere out there. What do you think I'm going to do? If I know this man to be a man of integrity, and I know for sure that he's telling me the truth, and I now know there is a $10 million worth of gold buried somewhere on this 100 acres, I don't know how long it's going to take me to dig this place up. That backhoe's fixing to get warmed up. Have I ever dug like that in the Word of God? What does he tell me to do? He tells me to dig, right, Carrie? In other words, I'm telling you what. These words in this book are far more important than $10 million worth of gold. We ought to be so digging in this book. Just like Dave. Dave has been digging for 10 years to teach us his principles about the kingdom. And he's coming up with some things that has been there all this time. And so many people have no idea that's there. Just like I dug about healing. For years and years I dug and stuck in this word and I studied and I read and I agonized and I wanted knowledge and wisdom and I cried out to the Lord. Lord, show me how this works. Show me what's really true. Let me get these people healed and delivered. And think of the thousands of people that what I've taught has changed their life forever.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Who does all these things? He tells us how to get it. Just like I wouldn't have any problem at all if I thought that that goal, of course, if somebody had told me it's within only 20 feet of the surface, boy, that would really make things a whole lot better. But I don't have that information. Just like this Bible. I really don't know for sure what's in this Bible. I just know that every answer to everything in life is in this book. Don't you agree with that? So what should you be doing with it then? Praying over it, agonizing over it, reading over it, quoting it. Is that true? And it will make the wise become wiser. Do you want to be wise? I do. I don't want to be a simpleton. I want to be wise. I want to be able to do things. I want to know what God says. I want to know what I can do. Wow. And it's all right here in this book. Dig, dig, dig. And even if I didn't have a backhoe, if I thought that goal was really there, I'd be out there with my pick and shovel. Wouldn't you? But you have the gold here in your hands. Do we not have the gold? Just think. Some of you in this room here have been healed and delivered. One way or another. And just think, if you say I was the one that showed you how to do this, what if I had not done that study? What if you had been in agony and pain like some of these people? And you stay there and you suffer and you're in agony and pain for years. And you never know how to cry out to the Lord. You don't know how to do it, and there's nobody to tell you how to do it. So you go through your whole life in agony and pain, and you never get healed. But it's available. But you didn't know how to get it done. Just look at Sharon back there. Sharon had been sick for 27 years or something like that. She had been sick. She'd had all kinds of problems. She had people pray for her. The people knew they needed to pray. But 100 prayers had never gotten her healed. And then she heard about us. And she came to a healing school. And I remember the day Sharon came up and she said, Pastor, I've never heard the Word of God preached like this in my life. But I want you to know that I have been prayed for over 100 times with no results. I said, Sharon, you didn't do it God's way. She said, what do you mean? I said, first of all, how long have you had the problem? 27 years. I said, okay, let's go back 27 years ago and think and let the Holy Spirit convict you. What kind of sin had you committed? She thought a minute, she said, oh my gosh, I know what I did. I said, okay, repent. What did the Lord say do? Repent. Will he forgive you?
Yes.
Every time?
Every time.
Every time. We learned that before. So I said, okay, now, so you repented. I said, now then, what scripture did you use to base your faith on? She said, scripture? We didn't use the scripture to base our faith on. I said, did the Lord say, do not come to me without faith? I watch over my word to perform my word. Does he say that?
Yes.
If he says, don't come to me without faith, if you don't quote the word of God to him, you're not coming in faith. So she said, I'd never heard it like that, but said, that's what that says. I said, okay, then he says, when you pray, you must pray in faith, nothing wavering.
Amen.
I said, so nobody's ever prayed for you without wavering. I said, I'm fixing to pray for you, and I ain't going to waver. I prayed, and I voiced my prayer for Sharon, and God instantly healed that girl 20-something years ago, and she's been healed ever since.
Yes.
Now I got to tell you the funny part about. One day I was telling her about this. I was reminding her. I said, Sharon, this is awesome what God has done for you and how that He. I said He could have changed your life. I mean, I said He could have done awesome things. I said, if I hadn't showed up and told you how this worked, I said you'd probably already be dead and in your grave. She thought a minute and she says, you know, Pastor, I ought to just slap you. I said, what for? She said, that's true. She said, if you hadn't have done that, I'd already been in heaven with the Lord. Thank you for. I said, so you want to slap me for getting you healed? She said, now that I think about it, it would have been better to go on to be with Jesus. But I had to think quick. I said, but Sharon, if you went on to be with the Lord way back yonder, think of all the rewards you wouldn't have gotten.
Amen.
I said, all these daughters and sons that you prayed for, all these people that you've gotten healed, you're going to get a reward for all that. Okay, Lord, I repent. Is that amazing?
Yes.
Is that really the way it works?
Yes.
While we're here on this earth, what are we supposed to do?
Yes.
Produce fruit for the kingdom, right? We're supposed to go out and bring people in, tell them about Jesus, get them saved, healed, and delivered. Is that right?
Yes.
If you don't know how to do it, you can't do it. But God told you to do it. And so that's what you're supposed to be doing. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's read a little further there, Brother Dave.
Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God.
Wow, just think. You will learn what it means to fear the Lord. Do you know, I remember the night that I prayed for a 55-year-old man that I thought he was going to get well. But a few days later, he died. I went back to his funeral, and after we buried him, 55. I mean, that is way too young to die. The Proverbs clearly said that if we obey him and do what he says, it'll bring a long, healthy life. And fear of the Lord is the beginning of that knowledge. So when I thought about that, on the way back home from his funeral, I did know that 55 wasn't very old. And most people are not lining up for the grave at 55. Most of them want to live 80 or 90 or 100 or something, somewhere along in there. And some of them want to go on forever. So whatever you want, whatever you want. But anyway, we think about this man. And on the way home from his funeral, I just got to talking to the Lord. Lord. Now, I'd heard his voice a few times at this time, so this has been several years ago because I was 55 when he was 55, and I'm now coming up on 80, so it's been a few years ago. But I think about when I said, Lord, I have prayed for lots of people and used the scriptures that I used on him, and they worked. And they got healed. I said, but this man died. I said, what did I do wrong, Lord? Lord, I need you to show me what I did wrong. Thank you, Lord, for your answer. And I'd wait a few minutes, I didn't hear anything. So I thought, okay. Now, you can't say God's hard hearing because we know he hears everything. He has great ears, doesn't he?
Yes.
So I went back and I said, Lord, I know you heard me, but I don't know why you didn't answer me. But sometimes he does, answers immediately. But he didn't this time. So I went back and I said, Lord, I need to know what I did wrong. I mean, I've used the scriptures that you give me to pray for many a person, and they have worked on lots of those people, but this man died. So I need to know what I done wrong. I said, Lord, I know it's got to be something that I've done. It can't be you, because the Word of God never fails, right? So anyway, I kept asking him and kept thanking him for the answer. Over and over and over for 3 hours, I did not give up. I said, Lord, you might as well go ahead and tell me, because I want to know what I done wrong. You know, and I'm persistent. Is that kind of like a child?
Yes.
You know, a lot of times your child come to you and they want something, and you say, I'll tell you after a while, or whatever, and they keep on, keep on, keep on, and they don't quit because they want an answer. So I wanted an answer. I was pulling on his shirt tail. I wanted to know what in the world I done wrong. And all of a sudden, he said, son, you didn't do anything wrong. The problem was his, not yours. You did everything right. But you'll find your answer to why he died in John 15:2. Well, at that time, I didn't know what John 15:2 said. So I pulled off the side of the road and stopped, and I opened my Bible and I turned it over to John 15:2, and it says, every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off.
Yep.
I read that again and again and again. I said, God, this sounds like you killed him.
Yep.
He said, I did. He said, you read it exactly right. I said, it clearly said in my word, every branch. How many of them?
Every.
Every branch, every child of God that bears no fruit, I cut them off. If they don't produce fruit, I don't need them. I said, Lord, this can't be right. This is not real. It seems like you're telling me you killed this man. He said he didn't do what I told him. He didn't repent and he didn't produce fruit. So I said, I had given him 10 years to produce fruit, and for 10 years he has stopped producing fruit. And so he said, if he's not going to produce fruit, I don't need him. In the book of Matthew, he says there that if you don't produce fruit after 3 years, well, know what it says, God?
Yep.
If you don't produce fruit for 3 years, then he'll cut you down and burn your tree. Is that what he said?
Yep.
That's scary, isn't it? So when the Proverbs says, knowledge of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, fear of the Lord, all of a sudden you find out this God, he's not just only just a good God, but he's a God that if you don't do something for him, he don't need you. He'll cut you off. Somebody says, wow, I haven't been producing much fruit. I tell you what I'm going to do when I leave Thurman Church. I'm going to find somebody to talk to Jesus about. I mean, is that what we should, that fear? If you thought for a second that the Bible is really true, John 14:2 really says, John 15:2 really says, every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off. Does it not say that?
Yes.
Do you think he really means that?
Yes.
If I read that and I'm reading and the Proverbs is saying, knowledge of the word, well, you know, it'll put fear in your heart.
Amen.
Wow, will that put fear in my heart? I guarantee. After that night, after I went home, when I finally did get home, I said, Lord, you killed that man. John 15:2. I said, Lord, that can't be what that says. That can't be what that says. So I asked two or three other pastors, what do you think about John 15:2? Well, I've never had a man yet, never, to tell me that it means exactly what it says. But I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you what it says. I'm going to let you look at it yourself. And if it don't put some kind of fear in your heart, then if you come down sick next year, what if I tell you you're not producing any fruit for the kingdom? And if you don't start now that I've told you, how about that little girl over in Justin? It was moved in with a boy.
Yeah.
Scripture clearly says, do not have sex outside of wedlock. Every act of sexual immorality will be judged. Is that what it says?
Yes.
So you're teaching these young people, don't go out and have sex until you're married. Once you're married, it's okay, but not until you're married. And they say, so what's the consequence? Judgment. God says right here in His Word, in 1 Corinthians, that if you don't do, 1 Corinthians 3, if you defile your body with sexual immorality, I will destroy your body.
Jesus.
Nobody believes that. But if God said it, you better believe it. It's in the book. And so that little girl wouldn't believe it. The Lord gave that little girl 5 years. 5 years I went to that little girl's house where her and that boy were shacking up. They brought 3 kids into the world in those 5 years. 3 of them. Wasn't married. The last time I went, I told her that little one was about a month old. I told her, I said, honey, I know your boyfriend here says he's not a Christian. He don't believe in God. So I said, he's not God's child. But you are. You tell me you believe in Jesus. And I said, that body you're living is His temple.
Amen.
And He tells you in His Word, if you defile that temple, I will destroy your temple. I said, He will kill you if you don't quit that. She said, Mr. Scrivener, you're crazy. I said, no, ma'am, I'm just telling you what the Word says. Believe me, with what I know about the Word, you think I'd go out and have sex with some woman I ain't married to? You've got to be out of your mind. I mean, you got to be out of your mind. Can you imagine? No. I can't even imagine. But anyway, about a month later, her daddy called me and said, Thurman, my daughter didn't wake up this morning. That third baby was a month old, and that boy woke up, and the baby woke up, but my daughter, she had had a heart attack in the night, and she's stone hard cold dead. 21 years old. Did she have a long life?
No.
Not hardly. Did she listen to good counsel?
No.
She should have, shouldn't she?
Yeah.
You got to tell them the truth.
Amen.
Wow. Just like the proverb tells us there. Fear, that'll bring fear of the Lord into your heart. Did you know the average person today don't believe what we just talked about?
Yeah.
They're having sex. They're doing all kinds of crazy things outside of wedlock. And there's boys and girls that will go to bed with somebody in their lifetime that have heard these words and did not obey them. And it will bring some kind of short circuit into their parts of their body, and they will die prematurely. Ain't that a shame?
Yep.
I'm telling you, it brings fear of the Lord into me. There is no way that I would intentionally sin against the Lord. That don't mean I don't make mistakes, just like you do. But I ain't going to be out there intentionally doing it, I guarantee. Read on, Dave, a little further.
For the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding.
From His mouth? Where do we get the word from His mouth? The Word is said. That's right, Mike. We're reading the Word of God, and that's where we're getting all this wisdom. It's coming from the words that He spoke, right?
Yeah.
So if you can read something in God's Word, and just think, if you had this book, and you knew that this book was the owner's manual for life, and it meant exactly what it said, and He's going to do exactly what He said, every man in his right mind ought to be knocking the door down to have one of these Bibles that he can read it. Because it's the owner's manual for life. Is that true?
Yes.
And you need to know what it says, because it alone is going to determine how long you're going to live or when you're going to die. Fear of the Lord. Isn't that something? Okay, Dave, read on.
He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity.
Wow.
He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him.
If you'll serve him and do what he says, you're in good shape, right? In other words, just think, all these wonderful blessings will all work for you if you'll obey and do what God says. I mean, wow. Okay, read on.
Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go.
Wow. Just think. If you need to, how many of us need direction on which way to go? Lord, I need all kinds of instructions here. I need to know which way to go. And I can't think of anybody better to go to than the Lord. That's just exactly, that's like that time down there when I was down there at the sky shifts, whenever that boilers weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing that morning, when that VP told me what he did. I said, no problem, I'll run down there and see what's going on. And I walked out and the boys told me. When I saw what was happening, I didn't know. I'd never seen that in my life. I just threw my hands up in the air and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, my company is down. I need knowledge and wisdom of how to get this problem solved, and I need to get it done now. So thank you for your answer in Jesus' name. I mean, just like that, he said, son, your condensate is contaminated. Dump it. I told the boys, I said, break them condensate return lines, let them run out on the floor. He said, what are you doing? I said, don't ask me no questions. Just do what I tell you. When God told me, I didn't ask you no questions. When he said my condensate was contaminated, dump it. That's all I knew I want to do. Because I know, I may not understand what's going on, but I know that if he told me to do that, he knows what's wrong. And I have no problem using his knowledge to get it done. And of course, in 15 minutes, we had the thing fixed. I mean, of course, that VP, when I went back up there, he said, Thurman, they tell me you already got it fixed. I said, yeah, it was real simple. He said, them boys been working on it all night and they couldn't get it fixed. What do you mean real simple? I said, well, he said, how did you learn so quick? I said, I asked God. And he told me what was wrong with it. I said, it fixed it. You did what? He didn't have that knowledge and wisdom. Where do you get this knowledge and wisdom? By reading and studying God's Word, doing what He said, walking in obedience to His Word, then He'll answer you. Now, if you're out there running around cheating people, stealing money from people, doing all kinds of things wrong, and all of a sudden your world falls apart and you start calling for the Lord, what did He say He'd do? He will not hear you. Miss Jackie, I don't want to be there if He don't hear, do you? I'm in the wrong place doing the wrong thing, because if you don't get an answer from him, he don't give you knowledge and wisdom, you ain't going to get much done on this earth, I'll tell you for sure. Okay, Dave, read on.
For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will fill you with joy.
Wow. Is that awesome? Wow. Knowledge and wisdom. Is that what we need?
Yes.
Knowledge and wisdom. Praise God. Okay, read on, Dave.
Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted.
Wisdom. It's amazing. Wisdom will save you from evil people. I think of how that works. I'll tell you, there's so many ways. I can tell you something that was so amazing. This happened a few years ago. Cheryl and I went down to Dallas to do something. And we're on the way home, and we're up on the freeway over there on 35. We're driving about 60, 65 miles an hour, whatever the speed limit was. We're driving along there, and I look up in the mirror. Traffic, lots of traffic. I look up in the mirror, and there comes an 18-wheeler. And he's right behind, he's in the left lanes toward the center. And I'm in that lane, this outside lane, or inside, whatever you want to call it. I'm driving 65 miles an hour. We're going down there, and he's driving probably 75 or 80 because he's catching me pretty quick. When I looked up in that mirror, the wisdom from the Lord spoke to me just as clear as a bell and said, pull over to the right, one lane. Why in the world? I mean, there ain't no traffic behind very much. There's some in front, but it's not too thick. There's some there. Why would he tell you pull one lane to the right?
He knows
something's happened. Wisdom from God. So I didn't even tell Cheryl or nothing. I just looked over to see if there's any traffic right there. There was no traffic, and so I just pulled over one lane and pulled right back in the lane. And he went right by me. I thought, well, boy, he was driving fast, so I guess that's why you want me to pull over. And we go over the hill, and as we go over the hill, when we top the hill, all I can see is red lights. What does that tell you? Something is wrong somewhere. When you see solid stoplights, you know that's not normal. So wisdom, they called, told me to pull over one lane. I pulled over one lane. And after I pulled over one lane, that truck went by me. The guy up in front of him, I'm coming down, beginning to hit the brakes and slow down, and I got plenty of room behind me. I'm slowing down, tapping the brake, and all of a sudden, this guy that's up there in the line in front of me on the left, as he's trying his best to get slowed down, he's on the brakes, off the brakes, on the brakes, doing everything, trying his best. Finally, he gets stopped. I see him do... Bam! A car hit him right in the rear end. I mean, a car. And then that car that was too close there, right behind him was that 18-wheeler in that left lane. And he hit that guy in that truck. When he hit that guy right in the back end, he slammed him into the guy in front of him and slammed that guy in front of him. There's three of them, pal. Bam, 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 just like that. I would have been the center car and got hit in both ends if I had not have obeyed the King.
Oh, praise God.
Does it pay good dividends if we have wisdom from the Lord?
Yes.
Seek after Him, cry after wisdom. It will save your life. And then when He speaks, you get used to obeying. Don't argue with Him. When He tells you to do something, just do it. In fact, Gracie and me was in a car here a while back, and a truck turned over right in front of us, didn't it, Gracie?
Right in front of us.
We were right over there close to the shop and over there, and the thing flipped up over on its side and slid down the highway right in front of us on its side. Isn't that right?
Yes, it did.
But we had the Holy Spirit. I told Gracie, I said, honey, just pull off the road right here and get over in that ditch right there, and just we'll go right back up here and we'll be back at the shop, and we won't be stuck in the middle of all this traffic. There was nobody between you and me and it, right, Gracie?
Nope.
Just me and her. So then she just obeyed. She did exactly what I asked her to do. She flipped the thing right around, went back up there, and we pulled in and parked and waited for the cops and the wreckers and everything to come get that thing out of the way. But we were perfect. You couldn't have been any better. Couldn't have been
any closer either.
Does it take good dividends to obey God, Brett Mike? Now then, where do we get this? This wisdom, where do we get it? From the Lord. When He tells you to do something, friends, you just obey Him and do what He says, right?
Sure do.
I mean to tell you, it pays such great dividends. Okay, read on a little further, Dave.
These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong, and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil.
Do you know people like that?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean to tell you, wow. Go ahead.
Their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong. Wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to death. It is the road to the grave.
Wait a minute. What did I just hear? If you go to the immoral woman's house, her path leads to what?
Death.
So you wonder why so many people are in wrecks. So many people have venereal diseases. You wonder why all these things happen. Why are they happening? Because people are not obeying God's word. They're doing things what they want to do, and they're not caring. Wow, read on a little further there, Dave.
The man who visits her is doomed. He will never...
What did he say?
Doomed.
What did I hear him say?
Doomed.
The man who visits her house is doomed?
Yeah, doomed.
I mean, how many men that are out here sleeping with women they ain't married to have any idea that they're on their way to hell? They're on their way to death. They don't believe that. A man that will run around with another man's wife is an absolute fool. I mean, he's a fool. God says that every act of sexual immorality will be judged. And if you're his child and you go out and do these kind of things, he says he'll destroy your temple. And I know that little girl up here in Justin. He did her. 21 years old, she died. And then people get sick, they get afflicted, they have all kinds of things go wrong, and then they call out to the Lord, and he don't answer. I mean, we pray, and he don't answer. And then we're saying, well, God, where are you? He said, I told you not to do that years ago. I told you not to sleep around the women or men outside of wedlock. I told you not to do that. You've been doing it. I've been putting up for this for 15 years or 20 years. I ain't going to put up with it no more. And so you wonder why you can't get healed? You wonder. There is the scripture that just blows me away is Proverbs 26:2. The curse, which is sickness and disease, cannot come upon you undeserved. So, in other words, you cannot get a spanking from God if you don't deserve it. That's scary to me, folks. That's super scary to me. Because he says, if I do something wrong, I'm going to be judged. Is that something? That's worse than something. Why do they do that? I've seen so many people judge when they do that. All right, let's read a little further.
The man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the paths of life. Follow the steps of good men instead and stay on the paths of the righteous.
Wow.
For only the godly will live in the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be removed from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted.
Did you just hear what that said? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the godless, do you? Do you know in America today, we have so many people that don't even think that the Bible is true anymore. It's just a bunch of fables, just a bunch of words. But it means exactly what it says. And it will happen just exactly like it's written in this book. Isn't that something? For only the godly will live. So do you reckon it might be a good idea to, if you're not godly, reckon it might be a good idea to start looking for God? I think it says that if you're going to live, you're going to have it. For only the godly will live. Is that what your Bible says? Wow. Okay, Dave, read a little further.
That's the end of chapter 2.
Oh, that's the end of chapter 2. Okay. If that's the end of chapter 2, it must be time to quit. Is this good advice?
Oh, wonderful advice.
If you want you and your children to live, should you read the book of Proverbs on a regular basis every day and then obey what it says, right?
Yes.
Don't mock God.
Amen.
Don't, I mean, do what He says, obey Him, and obey the Word of God, and it, all so far, just in two chapters, if we obey Him, does He promise to answer our prayers?
Yes.
I will. But if you don't, heed my warnings, you cry out unto me, cry out, Lord, we're sick or afflicted, we got a problem, or everything's going wrong in our house, the kids get unruly, we can't do nothing right, Lord, we need help. He says, I told you what to do, I told you to read these rules to your children every night, and your father, your husband, the daddy, he's not reading to the children, he's not telling the children what I said, so they're going to go up and be evil. You better start reading the Proverbs to your children every night. And if you do, they'll hear what. I remember when I was reading the Proverbs to my children, when we got to this chapter, I talked about the immoral woman. When I talked about her, we were going on there for a little while, all of a sudden Amanda, she was just a little girl. Daddy, what is an immoral woman? I had to tell her. Her mother was sitting right there. You know, Amanda's mother, Betty, she was sitting right there. That's where she should have been. And I'm explaining what an immoral woman is and what an immoral woman does, how she sells her body sexually. Wow, she understood it. She was only 10 or 12 years old, but she understood. When I got through explaining to her what this means, wow, she said, Daddy, that wouldn't be good for a woman to do that, would it? I said, absolutely not. Because it'll bring forth death. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
You want to die early?
No.
I want to. If we obey Him and do what He says, He'll satisfy us with a.
Whoa.
That's the one I like. Okay. I want my prayer team to stand up. Praise the Lord. And we're going to pray for those that have a need. When this is over, you find one of these prayer teams and you go to them, and we will pray over your problem. And if you will repent of sin, have a scripture to base your faith on, and that these people will have those scriptures there. If you obey and do what God says, He said in His Word, like Kim said a while ago, His answer, His problems are all yes and amen.
That's right.
So you need to listen to the prayer warriors and do what they say. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a box over there on the wall. If you want any of the CDs and DVDs, they're all free. Take as many as you like. We don't put a restriction on what you can take. If you take something, listen to it. Listen to it. Grow up in Christ. Okay? Father, we thank You and praise You for the Word. We thank You for the promises that You've given us and how this thing works. We're so grateful, Lord, and we give You all the praise and glory and honor. Give us a great week this week. Show us what to do. May Your Holy Spirit direct us and lead us, and we do everything right according to Your will. And I thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise are you are dismissed.